Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. My, the Lord is good, isn't he? Praise his wonderful name. My, oh my, it seemed like the Spirit of the Lord is already doing his work within this place, touching our lives, hallelujah, meeting needs one after another. But that's our God, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He's always doing something great for us, and all we got to do is just keep on trusting and keep on believing, hallelujah, and he'll just keep on doing for us, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So good to be here today, and I appreciate your pastor inviting me down and to be with you, and it's always good to have my wife traveling with me, and she's been traveling with me for 55 years. Praise his wonderful name. Hallelujah. We'll just go right into the word of the Lord here this morning. And so if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me over to the book of Isaiah in chapter 6. And these are some familiar scriptures here. I want to talk to you a little bit about just standing in the presence of the Lord. In Isaiah in chapter 6, it says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off of the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. And also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Our Heavenly Father, as we look to you once again, we're just so thankful, Lord, for the Spirit of the Lord that we feel and sense within this place. Lord, you've already touched us. You've already blessed, Lord, within this service. But, oh, Lord, we're asking you to continue to move and to touch and to bless your people today. Lord, I pray that, Lord, that you would minister to each and every one of us, oh, Lord, and to every need within this place this morning. Lord, we just pray that, Lord, that you would draw us even closer unto you. For, Lord, we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So as we look at these scriptures here this morning, and we can see it was at a time that when Israel was in a sad condition spiritually. It was in the year that King Uzziah had died. He died a leper because of his sin and his pride and his rebellion. And it was in that same year, and it was in an evening time, when all the rituals and all the sacrifices had ended for the day, and all the worshipers had gone home, and the priest had left the temple area, and Isaiah was left alone in the temple, and something was about to happen within his life. He would never be the same again. He said, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Sitting on the throne, it represents his rulership, his kingship, his majesty, one that is supreme. High and lifted up, it represents his greatness, his authority, and his power, one that was above all. And I hear David, one of the greatest kings, over in Psalm 61 and 2. He said, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Even David, in all of his greatness, realized that there was one far greater in power and authority than what he was, and it was the Lord, that rock of ages. I hear a Stephen, as he calls him the Most High God, back in Acts in 7:48, when it says, and the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, but as saith the prophet, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. And you see that Most High God sitting above this entire universe, just like it tells us back in Isaiah 40 and 22, it is he that sitteth on the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens as a curtain, and he spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. It is that Most High God that sits above this universe. He has everything in his control, and this is who Isaiah saw sitting there in the temple on that day. And it says, and his train filled the temple. That's his robe. You know that you've seen pictures of kings before that where the robes that come down over their feet and around the throne, almost like a bride on her wedding day when the maid of honor spreads out that gown around her. But here it tells us that his robe filled the entire temple. And then it says, and above the throne there were seraphims. Seraphims are burning ones, fiery ones. They look like they were on fire, brilliant, glowing, reflecting the glory of God. These seraphims, they were angelic beings doing service for the Lord. And they cried to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And so here is these seraphims, they're proclaiming the holiness of Almighty God. Yet you can see that same song is being sung up in heaven. For there in Revelation 4 and 8, it said the four beasts had each of them six wings about them and rest not day and night, saying, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And so we find that they don't rest day or night from proclaiming the holiness of Almighty God. You see, because our God is a holy God. The Bible tells us there in Genesis, there in 39 and 7, and he tells us, he said, so will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel. I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. The Bible tells us in Psalms 99:9, it says, worship the Lord our God. It says, exalt the Lord our God, worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. That word holy there in Hebrew, kadosh, and it actually means one that is sacred, pure, blameless, separated from all sin and uncleanness. You see, our God is a holy God. When Hannah prayed over in 1 Samuel 2 and 2, she said, there is none holy as the Lord. It said, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. He is a holy God. And whenever those seraphims, when they proclaimed the holiness of God, the doors of the temple began to shake and they began to tremble. And the Bible tells us that the house was filled with smoke. The presence of Almighty God filled that place on that day. You see, because throughout the Bible, you'll find that smoke and a cloud many times represent the presence and the glory of Almighty God. There on Mount Sinai, there in 19 and 18, it said, and Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. Oh, I love to see the power of God when it comes down like this, and people sit in His presence and weep and tremble in the presence of Almighty God. You see, His presence come down in the wilderness there in 40 and 34 when it tells us, and a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. You see, that place was filled with the presence of Almighty God. And Lord, that's our desire here today, is to have Your holy presence fill this place, Your glory to come down into this house, oh Lord, and to saturate us here within this service today. Our desire, oh God, is for You to have Your holy, Your divine, and Your wonderful way. You see, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 64 and 1, it said, oh, that Thou wouldest rend the heavens, that Thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at Thy presence. You see that whenever His presence come down, mountains of difficulty will vanish. When His presence come down, mountains of problems will go away. When His presence come down, our sicknesses, they will disappear. Hallelujah! You see, when His presence come down, the mountains in our life will begin to melt away. It's His presence that makes the difference within our lives today. You see, the Bible tells us when they dedicated Solomon's temple over in 2 Chronicles in 5 and 13, and it says, and it came to pass, as the trumpeters and the singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and when they lifted up their voices with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music, and praise the Lord, saying, for He is good, His mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. You see that whenever His presence come down, and the priest just had to stand back and allow the Spirit of God to have His divine and wonderful way in that place. Hallelujah. All they could do is stand there and give praise unto the Lord as He began to do His work in their midst. Oh, we need the presence of God, that Shekinah glory, to come down into our midst. The Shekinah glory, it actually means the dwelling of God. So does that tell us that when the presence of God comes down in our service like that, and the preacher has to just stand back and allow Him to do His work, that kind of tells me God's dwelling in our midst. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be His name, because Psalms 22 tells us He inhabits the praises of His people. Hallelujah. That tells us when the people is praising Him, oh, it tells us God, He's dwelling within our midst. Hallelujah. You see, that when we begin to praise him. His presence began to come down into our midst. And as he begins to come down into our midst, then we begin to lift up more praises unto him. And as those praises go up, his blessings begin to flow down in our midst. Hallelujah. Then we just kind of stand back and watch the Holy Ghost as he begins to move within our midst, as he touches lives, as he blesses those, he strengthens those, and then he begins to melt us down, begins to mold, begin to convict, begins to anoint, and begins to prepare our lives for the work that he would have us to do. And it says, in that very same atmosphere, there stands Isaiah. And he felt the conviction of the presence of Almighty God in that place. As he stood there, he said, oh, woe is me. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. That word undone there in Hebrew, dama, it actually means to be struck dumb, speechless, silent. Also means cut off or delivered. And here is old Isaiah saying, I'm all so miserable. I'm all tore up. Because he knew he had failed the Lord. You see, he felt so unworthy. I don't know what he done. Bible doesn't exactly tell us just exactly what he done. But because he knew he failed the Lord, he felt unworthy to join the seraphims in singing praises to a holy God. Just stood there speechless and in awe of this holy God. Said, I see the King, the Lord of hosts. He was standing in the very presence of Almighty God. Oh, his presence will humble you. It will break you. It'll melt you down. It'll mold your life. It'll stir your heart. It will convict you of any wrong in your heart. It will cause you to search your own heart, where you really are with the Lord, what kind of a relationship you really have with him. You see, there's nothing like standing in the presence of Almighty God, knowing that he is searching our heart, and he knows everything about every one of us. Psalms 139 and 1, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all of my ways. There is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together. He knows everything about you and me. From the time we've been born to this very moment here this morning, he knows everything about us. And Isaiah knew. God knew everything about him. God knew that he failed him. God knew that he wasn't in the place where he needed to be. And so Isaiah felt so unworthy. And he humbled himself in the presence of the Lord. He felt so unclean in the presence of one that was so holy. One that was pure and blameless, separated from all sin. He felt so small in the presence of one that was so great One that sit on the circle of the earth. One that spoke this world into existence. One that hung the stars in space. He felt so helpless in the presence of one that was so powerful. One that said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? One that never, ever fails. One that said, with God all things are possible. And so when he saw the greatness of Almighty God, he humbled himself. Many others through the Bible, I see that when they saw the greatness of God, they too humbled themselves in the presence of the Lord. Look at old Job back in 42:5. He said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and I repent in dust and ashes. He fell on his face, humbled himself in the presence of Almighty God. Even Daniel over in 10:15, when he says, and when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face to the ground and I become dumb. I become speechless as he humbled himself, fell on his face before the Lord. Look at old John back in Revelation 1:15. He said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And then there is Peter. We look at him over in Luke in the 5th chapter. And it says, and when he saw the miracle of fishes, said he fell down at Jesus' knees. And he said, depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man. And he humbled himself in the presence of the Lord. Do you know that when we come to that place, that when we realize that without him, we're nothing, and we begin to fall down on our knees and humble ourselves, do you know that's when God can begin to mold us and make us what he wants us to be? You see, we begin to give ourselves completely unto him. Listen what he said unto Peter. He said, fear not. He said, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. He had more for him to do. Now he can make him what he wanted him to be. And that's the way he does within our life. When we get to that place, we humble ourselves, fall down and realize, oh God, without you, I am nothing. That's when God begins to mold our lives into what he would have them to be. Listen to old Paul back in 1 Corinthians 15:10. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace that was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labor more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. You see, Paul realized, it's nothing in me. It's God. He's the one that makes the difference in our lives. I know where the Lord got me from. I mean, I was on my way to a devil's hell. That's where I was heading when God got a hold of my life. I mean, I didn't attend church. I didn't even know the meaning of Easter. And yet God got a hold on my life. So I know it's by the grace of God I am what I am. And I never get behind the pulpit without reminding him, Lord, you know I'm nothing without you. And Lord, you know I can't do anything without you. And Lord, I could never be anything without you. And I need your touch. And I need your help. And I need your anointing, oh God, upon my life. Because I realize without him, I cannot do it. He's the one that makes the difference in our lives. I read a story about a man many years ago. He went to Chicago to start up a cheese factory. I mean, it failed. In fact, it was a total flop. And one of his friends come up and they said, "You know, you never took the Lord into the business with you. You didn't let him work with you, did you?" The man sat around and he thought about this and he said, "All right." He said, "If God wants to run this cheese business, I'll let him run it and I'll work for him." And you know, almost immediately, it began to prosper and it began to grow. And it became one of the largest cheese concerns in the entire world. Young man's name was J.L. Kraft of the Kraft Cheese Company. You see, without God, we're not going to make it. We can't do it without him. He is the one that makes the difference within our lives. Now hear, O Isaiah. He said, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips." Said, "Then flew a seraphim with a live coal in his hand, taken with the tongs from off of the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth. And he says, 'Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged.'" I don't know what Isaiah done. I don't know what sin he committed. I don't know how he failed the Lord. But I do know one touch was all that he needed, and it was reproved. He was pardoned. He was forgiven. Hallelujah. Just one touch from the Lord. Hallelujah. And I don't know where you stand here today with the Lord. You say, "Well, I'm doing fine," and that is great. That's where we should be. But there might be those in this place here today that you say, "Well, I'm not really in the place where God would have me to be." Or you might say, "I've gotten a little cold in my experience with the Lord. Well, I've kind of failed him." Or you might be here today and you say, "But I've got sin in my life." But you see, regardless, one touch is all that you need from the Lord. One touch. Once the Holy Ghost touches our hearts and the fire of God begins to burn down within, hallelujah, then you'll be ready to go like Isaiah when the Lord said, "Whom shall I send and who will go for it?" He said, "Here am I. Now I'm ready, Lord, to do what you have me to do." And that's what God is able to do within our life. One touch from the Lord, hallelujah. So you see, what we need to do is consecrate our lives unto him. Consecrate. That means the giving of ourselves completely unto the Lord. One woman, she asked her pastor one day, she said, "Tell me, pastor, what's your meaning of consecration?" He handed her a blank piece of paper. He said, "Just sign the bottom of it." He said, "Well, let God fill out the rest of the page." In other words, just give yourself unto him and then let God do the rest, whatever he wants to do within our lives. I like what Mary says back in Luke 1:38. Said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Completely surrendered her life to the will of God. I like what old Nicholas the hermit said as the musicians come and get ready to play. He said, "Lord," he said, "take from me what keeps me from thee, and give to me, Lord, what brings me to thee. Lord, take myself and give me thyself." if we could just empty ourselves of me and be filled with him, look what God would be able to do within our lives. And so you see that when we consecrate unto him and give him our all, that's when God can begin to mold us and make our lives into what he wants them to be. And so we need to come and say, hey, Lord, I want you to touch my life. I want you to stir up the gift that is within me. I want you to mold me and make me after thy will, O Lord. Let me do the things, O Lord, you'd have me to do for you. And we just surrender ourselves completely unto him. And I wonder at this time, would everyone just stand together all around this place? Blessed be the name of the Lord. We stand here with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And let me ask you first, how many really wants to consecrate your life unto the Lord? Would you just slip up your hand, hold it up high? Yes, you can put it back down. I wonder if there's anyone here today that you'll raise your hand and said, I'm just not as close to God as what I need to be, but I want to get closer. Would you lift your hand and signify, yes, yes, you can put it back down. I wonder if there's anyone here today, you say, I've got sin in my life, and I want to be taken out this morning. I want Jesus to take it away from me today. I wonder, would you slip up your hand? Yes, yes, yes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm so glad that the Lord knows every one of us in the way that he does. He knows our hearts. He knows where we've been. He knows every word we've spoken. He knows every thought that runs through our mind. But oh, I'm so glad that he paid that debt on that old rugged cross on that day. Shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sin. And always standing with his arms wide open saying, come unto me. And that's what we can do. And I wonder those that raise their hand, you say, I've got sin in my life. I'd like it for Jesus to take it away. I wonder if you'd come first and come and stand around the altar. Would you come, those that raised your hand? And then I wonder those, you say, I'm not as close to the Lord as what I need to be, but I really want to get closer. I wonder, would you come? Blessed be the name of the Lord. You say, I want to get closer to him. I want all that I can get from God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. You say, I'm ready to consecrate my life to him. I'm ready to give God my all right now. And I want you to come and feel around this altar. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In fact, that this should be all of us, that we would want to consecrate our life unto the Lord. Let us come. And as the music begins to play and they begin to sing, let us worship him. Hallelujah. Altar workers, if you'll come and help us to pray, praise the name of the Lord. Let us just worship him today.